From tornadoes to flooding and electrical blackouts, summer weather is notorious for bringing a host of unexpected emergencies. For today's Teach Me What You Know, we're joined by Ken Collier, the editor-in-chief at The Family Handyman. He's here to talk about some simple ways to prepare for the challenges the warmer season can throw at us. Ken, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, Rob.
Well, we've had some heavy rains in parts of Wisconsin lately, so let's start with basement flooding. Say we see our basement is flooded. What's the first thing to do and maybe to not do?
Well, there's a couple things to keep in mind. The first is that you should treat water in the basement as poisonous. You never know what kind of chemicals might be mixed with it. It's pretty common for sewage water to come up through your floor drain. So that water, though it may look fine, could actually be pretty nasty stuff. So rubber boots, rubber gloves, even goggles are not a bad idea. The second thing is that you really should treat it as electrically charged until you know otherwise. It's pretty common for there to be some kind of electric current in the water from a power cord that was on the floor or something like that. So before you go wading around in the water, be sure to turn the power off to the basement. Unfortunately, lots of times the electrical panel is on the other side of the basement. In that case, it's best to call your power company, and they can shut off the power to your house at the pole or at the street, and then you can go about getting the water out.
And I've seen in places that have had higher flooding, another risk is putting out pilot lights on furnaces.
Yes, you want to be very careful about how you turn appliances back on. Often people are not aware that appliance like a water heater might have a pilot light. So this is something where you can get help from your gas company or a plumber to show you how to make sure they're all lit properly.
And Ken, you mentioned the rubber boots, the rubber gloves, the goggles. Let's talk about just having a prepared household, a prepared kit. What kind of things are vital for us to have on hand in case of the various emergencies we're going to talk about?
Well, you know, people can get pretty serious about getting ready for a problem. And depending on where you live, you might be ready to be without power for a day, a couple days, and even beyond that. But one of the basic things that has really gotten a lot better in the last few years is just having a flashlight you can rely on. Modern LED flashlights will burn for a long time without using up their batteries. And if you outfit your flashlight with lithium batteries, they're a little more expensive, but they have a shelf life of as much as 10 years. So it can sit in your kitchen drawer or wherever, and you can count on it being good to go when the power goes off.
It's no fun to find that one with the rusty, corroded battery
that has no hope of working.
And I think we've all been there probably at some point.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned being ready for that power outage. Let's get to that next. The power's out. We maybe make a call to the utility company. What else should we do?
Well, there's a couple interesting things. Most people are not aware that their appliances have computers in them. Most modern dishwashers, refrigerators, even washers and dryers can have computers in them. And the computers are not particularly well protected from power surges. So if the power goes out, one of the things you want to watch out for is the big surge that can happen when the power goes back on. It comes, first of all, from the power company itself turning the power on, but secondly, because things like your refrigerator and your air conditioner instantly turn on. And so those motors are causing even more of a surge. So it's not a bad idea, especially if you live in a place where power outages are frequent, to disconnect the appliance when the power goes off, and then wait until the power's gone on, until your refrigerator's gone on and your air conditioner, before you, for example, reconnect the dishwasher and the washer dryer. I had this happen to me. I had this very nice, quiet German-made dishwasher, not protected, and when the computer went out, it was $800 to replace it.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's like saying buy a new dishwasher.
So, I think of computers, those I always unplug, even during an electrical storm when the power's out, too. I don't think of all those other things that have the computers in them.
Yeah, it's kind of sneaky. You know, that stove you've got that's got the little touchpad on it and that has a timer and all that actually has a little computer in it. And when that goes, it's a very expensive part, a couple hundred dollars. So,
well, moving on to the tornado. I think a lot of us in Wisconsin kind of know the tornado drill, but what are some key points and, again, some things not to do?
Well, one of the main things is just to stay away from glass and anything that could be falling from above. So Wisconsin's basement country, so basements are obviously the place to go. And if there's anything above you that gives you some protection from, you know, for example, if the roof caved in, so much the better. People sometimes will get under a heavy table, for example. And if you're working in a kind of job where you have a hard hat, well, it's good to have hard hats around the house too. So.
And we hear sometimes, open up the windows, equalize the pressure. Old wives' tale?
No, those don't really do anything. In fact, kind of surprisingly, garage doors are one of the weakest parts of your house when it comes to a tornado. Lots of times they're the place where the tornado will get, it'll blow in the garage door, lift the garage roof off, and then can start to peel away your house. So opening the windows doesn't do much.
Don't go around opening up windows when a tornado's on the way.
Yeah, it's just going to get the floor wet.
Now, I was looking on your website. You cover a lot of other things. One thing that I hadn't thought about much, I've had some creatures in houses. You give some raccoon preparedness tips. What do we do if we found a raccoon rummaging around in the kitchen?
Well, you know, that one's more of a don't than anything else. Some people think that they're going to get their dog to help them, and that's a real no-no. The dog will come away bitten, and you'll just spend lots more in veterinary bills than it would cost to get rid of the raccoon. So the thing to do is call your animal control officer, or if you're way out in the country, I have a heart trap will also work.
And how about bats? I know we're about a month and a half away or so from when the baby bats will start being born and getting out and about, and they often find their way into people's living space.
Well, again, boy, I shouldn't tell you the one that my grandmother always had me do, but I will anyway, because she had bats in her house. And that was to use a tennis racket and then throw them outside. So, but the main thing is to keep them out of the house. You know, once they're in, they're hard to capture. But the thing to do is to just seal the space where they're getting in. Because usually if a bat can get in, you're losing your heat there. You're going to have a problem with insects. So it's just a good thing to know is to seal up the cracks wherever they can get in.
Oh, one more I wanted to mention. This could be an anytime thing. We mentioned the rain floods. What about those big geysers we get in our plumbing sometime? What do we need to know about our plumbing system to take quick action when something springs a big leak?
Are you mean like what to do in case there's a water spraying from the kitchen?
Exactly. You got it. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the basic things that everybody who lives in the home should know, and that is where the main water shutoff valve is. Every house will have one. And yet often it's something that only the resident handy person knows, if that. But if there's any kind of water emergency where water's flowing and you can't stop it, the thing to do is go down, it's typically in the basement, and shut off the main water valve.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
And there's some homework for homeowners out there. When the show's over, go find that main shutoff valve. That's Ken Collier. He's editor-in-chief at The Family Handyman. Been talking about how to prepare for summer emergencies in this installment of Teaching Me What You Know. Each week at this time, we learn how to do something new. Next week, how to have a successful garage sale.